We find ourselves in Ephesians chapter 5 this morning, verse 18. Let's open our scripture. I trust that you all brought your Bibles with you today. I'd also like to give a word of greeting to those that might listen to our messages later on off the internet. We greet you, and we pray that the Lord would bless His word as you study it along with us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 teaches us, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit of God." This is part of a passage that we've been in for a while that begins way back in verse 15, and it talks about our walk, our life in Jesus Christ that is supposed to be characterized by wisdom. Wisdom is a subject that the Bible has a lot to say about, especially in the Old Testament. As you read through the book of Proverbs, it tells us a lot of wise, short sayings that are that can be used in our life as examples of godly living. The contrast that Paul always makes is between our life in Jesus Christ and our life before Jesus Christ, which is called or characterized as being in sin. When we are in Jesus Christ, that demonstrates to us the power of God in our life, which is the contrast to being under the influence of alcoholic beverages. But the Holy Spirit of God has a certain transforming power in our life so that our hearts and our minds and our lives become transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And so the illustration that Paul wants to make here is he shows that something that people use every day in their life can have a controlling influence on their life. And instead of that, Paul writes, says that the wise person, the Christian person, the person under the influence of the Holy Spirit is going to be controlled by and led by God Himself. Drunkenness. This very word sometimes gives you images of different types of people. One of the primary characteristics of alcohol is that it takes over a person's capacity to think and act clearly. Look at some of the scriptures that are given to us as a warning about drunkenness. I'm not talking about the simple use of alcohol. I'm talking about what we call happy hour, what we see people going to neighborhood bars and going there specifically for the intent and the purpose of becoming intoxicated with alcohol, to become drunk, to try to be happy as a result of using this. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Write these down. If not, get the tape and listen to it later and read these verses in context at home, not just the quotes that I'm reading to you. But Proverbs 20, verse 1 says, "Wine is a mocker." Have you ever been laughed at? Wine laughs at you. Alcohol laughs at you when you use it. On top of that, Scripture defines something that's called strong drink. Strong drink is a brawler. Do you know what a brawler is? A brawler is somebody that is very easily encouraged and enticed into getting into a fight with you. When you consume alcoholic beverages, you find that most people end up in what we call brawls or fights. The verse ends, pay very attention to this, because Paul in verse 15 says, "Be careful how you walk, walk wisely and not as fools." Look what Proverbs says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise." You want to be wise or do you want to be unwise? That's a warning from Scripture. Proverbs chapter 21, the very next chapter, verse 17. "He who loves wine will not be rich." Now, some people want to be rich, and Scripture has a lot to say about that subject. Today the subject is not about money. Someday we'll talk about money. But today the subject is if you use wine, use alcohol, you will not be rich. That's just a warning for those of you that want to be successful in an earthly life. I'm not talking about your spiritual life. I'm simply talking about being successful in life. Proverbs 23, very, very important text. Notice that the writer of Proverbs says, my son. He's referring to us as children, as somebody that has lived life, as somebody that has experienced life. And he says, my son, listen. Listen to what I have to say and be wise. Being wise comes from listening. And specifically, we understand that although Solomon wrote this, he was writing the words that God inspired him with the Holy Spirit to write. And so Solomon tells his son, my son, do you want to be wise? Listen to what I have to say. The next phrase says, and listen, my son, and guide your heart. You know what the word guide means? It means to direct. God says, entrust yourself to the Lord and He will guide you. He will guide your paths. Guide is like a fence. When you're going down a road, when you're going down the freeway, you're not supposed to go off the road, off of the ramps there. Why? Because you might go down a cliff and have a bad accident. My son, you want to be wise? Listen to what I say and guide your heart. Your heart is your life in the way that you need to go. So what is it that Solomon wants to say? He says, who has wounds without cause? Have you been hurt for no reason? Who has redness of eyes? Some of us in California have allergies. But many people have red eyes because of the alcohol that they had last night. The answer comes, those who linger long at wine. In other words, those that spend a lot of time with this product. Those who go in search of mixed wine. I just want to bring your attention to the fact that in the Old Testament, the word wine and mixed wine are two different kinds of products that we'll take a look at it another time. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup. You may have been at dinner sometimes, and in business we have that sometimes. Paul, I think, can witness to that. And people act very sophisticated when they take a cup of wine or a glass of wine and they begin to swirl it around. Text says when you look at it and it swirls around, it is hypnotic. It can hypnotize you. It looks beautiful. It is red and has shades of color that are enticing. And Solomon tells his son, do not look at it when it sparkles in your eyes. Look into the clean, clear scripture. Go home and read Psalm 19. It says the word of God is clear. It gives you clear thinking. Wine does not. Notice afterwards it says, afterwards, it will bite you like a serpent and sting you like a viper. I've never had an alcoholic drink. I've never been under the influence of alcohol. But for those people that have, they say that a hangover is exactly what Solomon is describing here. He says when you wake up in the morning, you have a headache. It bites you. It's like a serpent hits you on the head the night before. He says, your heart will utter perverse things. Do you ever talk to somebody that is under the influence of alcohol? They make no sense. They say things that are strange. It says, you will think that you're in the middle of the sea lying down, or somebody that is in the top of a mast. Some of you that have never been on a boat, the mast is in the olden days. That's where the sailor had to go up on the very, very top. It was very high up. It was on a pole. And when the winds would blow and they had sails, the mast would move. He says, that's what a drunk person feels like. When he's walking down the street, he stumbles and he falls because he's out of control. He says, they have struck me, I was hurt, they have beaten me and I did not feel it. When will I wake up so that I can have another drink? You know, that is the characteristic of a person that is addicted to alcohol, is that he cannot wait to get the next drink. Very much like drug addiction, you cannot wait until you get the next dose of drugs. Very sad situation. move over to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah speaks a lot about the use of alcohol. He says, "Woe to those who rise early in the morning so that they may follow intoxicating drink, and who continue until night, until the wine inflames them." There are some people, they can't wait to wake up in the morning to begin what they did not finish yesterday in search of alcohol. In chapter 28 of Isaiah, Isaiah is talking to the leaders of Israel, the priests and the prophets who were guilty of this sin, who came to worship under the influence of alcohol. And Isaiah says, "Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkard of Ephraim, to those who are overcome with wine. They have erred, or they have made a mistake through the use of wine and intoxicating drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have made a mistake of partaking of intoxicating drink. They err, they make a mistake in their judgment and in their vision." Kings and prophets and priests were absolutely forbidden to use any type of alcoholic beverage so that their thinking would be clear, so that their thinking would not be altered when somebody came into their presence and the king had to decide a matter. So you could clearly make a decision without being influenced by this. When we get to the New Testament, Apostle Paul has a lot of warning for us too. Galatians chapter 5 lists a list of characteristics of unbelievers, of unsaved people, of unwise people. And the end of that verse says that people that do this do not inherit the kingdom of God. And specifically, one of the characteristics there of the people that do not make it into the kingdom of God are those who are drunkards. In other words, those people that are habitually and make a practice of being under the influence of alcohol rather than the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And it is a result of their sinful nature. In Thessalonians, or to the church in Thessalonica, to the believers there, Paul says, "Do not sleep like other people sleep." It says, "But instead, be sober, be watchful." Those that sleep, sleep at night. Those that get drunk at night. But we are children of the day, and so let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of salvation. A characteristic of a Christian person is that he is sober, he thinks clearly, he is in total control of himself. Peter, writing in 1 Peter chapter 4, says, "We have spent enough of our former life in sin in drunkenness." That time has gone by. Drunkenness is the will of the Gentiles. It is the way the unbelievers live. Believers do not live that way. So he says, instead, do not be drunk with wine, Paul writes here. To the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul writes, "Do not be deceived. Do not lie to yourself. Don't make the mistake of thinking that you can do this and make it into God's kingdom. God's kingdom belongs to those that think clearly." And so to the New Testament church in Ephesus, Paul is writing this not as a suggestion of, well, maybe you do this, but this is a command. And there was a specific reason for this. Notice when Peter says that you spent enough of your former life. Paul in chapter 2 of Ephesians says, "You who once walked according to the prince of the darkness of this world and did the things that the Gentiles do." In the ancient world, the Greeks and the Romans, they wanted to worship God. But in their paganism, they thought that they could have communion with God when they passed out from drunkenness. And so that they would have these parties where they would have loud music and beating drums, and they would have a hypnotic, gluttonous meal with the consumption of drugs and alcohol, in which they would alter themselves into an ecstatic hypnotic state where they thought they were having fellowship with the gods. And Paul is writing to this church. He says, if you really want to have communion with God and you want to have fellowship with God, it needs to be through the power of God's Word and the power of the Holy Spirit talking to you through the Word of God, not through outside stimuli. And to the Ephesians, Paul says, you used to think that you worshiped God this way. You used to be pagans. You used to be unwise. Now, Paul says, do not do this. When the pagans drank and they had these meetings where they thought they would commune with the gods, when you read about Greek mythology, about Zeus and his background and supposedly his birth to a virgin mother, all of this was associated with drunkenness. When the angel appeared to Mary, he says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And you will conceive from the Holy Spirit and bear a child who will save the world from their sins. And Mary, in clearness of mind, understanding what God is telling her through the angel, says, I accept, let it be according to the word of the Lord. According to the word of the Lord, there is no room in a Christian's life for intoxication. And our time is short, we'll pick up with this next time, but Paul is saying, seek spiritual fulfillment, happiness, blessedness. Blessed is the man who does not walk with the ungodly. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for God's righteousness, not the world's level of standard. And those who seek the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That is the command. We are to be filled with the Spirit of God, not with outside influences. Next time we'll take a look at the type of wine that Israel used and Jesus used in the Last Supper. And the Greek language specifically addresses some of these issues. And then we'll move on and see how the Holy Spirit leads genuine, real born-again Christians in real godly worship. May God bless His word. Amen.